Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Big Footy podcast special. It's the first of our Big Footy Spotlight series, and tonight we'll be covering the footy media. With me, as always, are my usual compatriots, Old Dark Navies.
Hello.
Messenger.
Hello.
And joining us for this particular discussion will be Jamie Johnston. Jamie, had some thoughts on the footy media lately.
Yeah, what I'm really interested in, it'd be really interesting feedback from you guys as well, is the best-selling paper in the land, which is the Herald Sun, which is the football paper of record. Sorry about that, Caro Wilson, but it is the paper that tends to break a lot of the stories and so on, has gone behind a paywall online. I think this is a really interesting development. I don't know how many people have been keeping across what they've done with that, but it's very clear to me that we're seeing a real game changer in the way that footy media operates now, that the News Limited, News International, Rupert Murdoch, however you want to package it, have identified Australian rules football as a key market for them to own in Australia. And they're doing something really interesting with Fox Sports and their papers online. They're merging them all into one entity, which they're calling News Plus. And I think for people who consume footy media like us, there's some really worrying implications for that. The example I'd give quite simply is that nowadays you read Mark Robinson in the Herald Sun, and most of us would read him online, I think, rather than the paper, and then you go home and you watch Mark Robinson on Fox Sports on one of the programs he's on, and then he talks about what he wrote in the Herald Sun on his Fox Sports program. And then the next day in the Herald Sun, he's talking about the guest that he had on his Fox Sports program. And then on Fox Sports that night, he's talking about the reaction to his column in the Herald Sun earlier that day. You get this eternal feedback loop of News International take on Australian rules football and the AFL. And that's really shutting down the diversity of opinion, I think. And I think that's only going to get worse. Is that something that you guys are noticing?
Go on.
No, you're up. Go.
Well, I guess I'll say that I'm a Fox subscriber, but I wouldn't buy the Herald Sun if it was the last newspaper on Earth, and mainly for what happens in the front pages. I think you can consume one and not notice the other, and I think in that respect it does stand alone. But the point that I would come to is diversity of opinion. I don't think there's a lot of diversity of opinion in football media, and we're talking Fairfax and News Limited. I mean, really the person, and I think if we look at the boards, the journalist who's treated the worst on the boards is Caroline Wilson, and some of the stuff that is said about her is absolutely appalling. It's disgusting. Yep. But really, what is she guilty of other than having an opinion that is different to others? And look, Jamie, she's been very tough on your football club over a long period of time.
And sometimes quite rightly.
And she's been tough on a number of other... she's not so much with Hawthorn, but other clubs. But really, the way she's vilified, even by her own colleagues in the media, I find quite appalling. But I do think there's this homogeneity of opinion in football at the moment. Some of it is sort of the recent past players, cabal. Some of it is just literally, I think, a need for contact with the football clubs. And I think some of these guys do pull their punches. I won't quote Jeff Kennett very often, but I think he made a very good point early in his presidency where he differentiated the way the football media dealt with, to say, the political media, where he said the political media reported on the industry, but the football media think they are the industry or they're intrinsic to the industry. And so there isn't this arm's length dealing with the game where they actually are inextricably intertwined with the clubs and rely on access. And I think there's probably no better example than that than somebody like Dylan Howard, who, after his terrible and possibly illegal activities, didn't lose his job because of what he did. He didn't lose his, he lost his job because the clubs wouldn't deal with him anymore.
I'm also interested, really interested, by the emergence of AFL media I don't think we've seen anywhere near the depth of what the AFL wants to do in terms of its own media coverage. They've spent, I think the figure was $30 million setting up their own media unit. We're seeing some of the we're seeing some of the impact of that now. You know, Mark Fraser, for example, does his MRP review after he hands down his findings and so on, and they do that in the, you know, the fashion of a normal talking heads TV show. I think the direction's heading where the AFL, and Dimitri said this on the record, they want to control everything. How would people feel about only being able to buy AFL-approved feeds of games with AFL-approved commentators? Because I think that's very much their end game, and I don't think it's actually too far away. I think that's what they'd be aiming for in the next TV rights deal, to try and sell that kind of thing down the pipe to consumers. How do you feel about that?
I think it cuts out the middleman for the AFL, but more it allows the AFL to more or less control the news cycle, as it were, in if I can borrow a term from the West Wing. It allows them to control the news cycle in a direction where they want it to go, independent of whatever action the Herald Sun and the Age take. I mean, like it or not, the footy media is split into more or less two camps in Melbourne, and I don't think that's ever been a good idea. I've never seen that as good. And I think AFL media, if it's done right, will be a viable third player. If it's not already a viable, at least online, it's a viable third player. But I devour a lot of media. If you go to the Carlton board, I'm all over the media side of the AFL. But I don't see AFL media as being a bad thing at this stage. It's not yet all-encompassing. The AFL already has the rights to all vision from AFL games as part of its rights agreements. So I just don't see AFL media being any better or any worse than the current media setups we already have.
It's not the AFL media is not as sanitised as I expected it would be. They are taking on some of the biggest stories and don't seem to be sugarcoating it too much at this stage. So that's one positive, because everything on the AFL site used to be all hearts and roses before. So, you know, just looking at it today and seeing the Eddie's scandal this morning, seeing that on the AFL site and the way they've reported it, gives me some hope that it's not such a bad thing, but I wouldn't want them to have exclusive rights to everything.
I'm also interested in the idea of people having to potentially even disclose some of their bias. I mean, you know, we laugh about Paul Ruse and the way he talks about Joey Kennedy and, you know, all the boys, Goodsy. So on. And, you know, fair enough, the bloke coached him for however many years and he coached them to a flag, but you can expect that. But there is a certain belief that, you know, people do push barrows. Certainly when Lindsay Thomas went through the poor kid Gary Rowan last year, it was an ugly incident. But the Ruse and Jared Healy were phenomenally pushing for Lindsay Thomas to be suspended there. And I'm coming as that as a North supporter, obviously. I think every club could probably pick out their own examples of that. Do you think that the footy media is too biased by having so many former players and so many people involved at that club level?
Yes. I've got a reasonably... I mean, we actually, on the Hawthorne board, we call that particular show on Fox footy Swan the Couch, because it's just ridiculous. And I don't mind former players and former coaches demonstrating some allegiance. It's only natural. Some of these men have spent a good part of their natural life being involved in a football club, and for them to deny that allegiance seems to me to be quite ridiculous. But we've also got this situation now where football journalists are personalities, and I'm not really interested in knowing where their allegiances lie. Some of them do better at covering it than others. I think Anthony Hudson is very professional in the way he calls football games. I think Jared Waitley is also very professional, but others, they're petticoat shows quite often. And I don't know how we came to a point where we know where their allegiances are. Maybe it was perhaps part of marketing these journalists as football personalities, but maybe this is overdone as well. I mean, we accuse these guys of bias, but I'm not sure that we the charge always sticks. Well, it's hard for me to say, but certainly somebody like Rowan Connolly, and he's can come over as pro Essendon. But then I look at the way Mark Robinson's handled the drugs saga at Essendon, and I can't fault him for it, to be honest. Just You'll have to edit that, Woogie.
Just on the personality thing, I think that's a product of the integration that Jamie was hinting at earlier. You look at guys like Gary Lyon, who write for The Age, they're on Triple M, and they're on Channel 9's footy show. And then you look at, the Herald Sunriders, who are on Fox, and they're on Game Day, and they're everywhere.
What do you reckon Caro Wilson would be on a year with all of her various media roles that she's got? What would be your estimate, do you reckon? I don't know for a fact, but I talk to people in my industry and we've sort of arrived at an agreed figure. But what do you guys reckon she'd get for doing, The Age she does? She does Footy Classified, she does radio, and she does ABC as well. So she's omnipresent.
Yeah, she does Offsiders. 400,
500?
Yeah, I'd say upper 500.
All of, across everything?
Yeah.
Million.
She got a pretty penny for being the chief writer of The Age.
Closer to a million. She's the highest paid journalist at The Age now Michelle Grattan's gone. She'd be 350 at The Age, somewhere between $300,000 and $350,000 at The Age. You know, that's not fact, and Caro, if you want to sue, you're welcome to. But it does show you that the level of the business that's involved there, that the chief football writer is the highest paid person in the organisation.
So here's the question: is she good value for money? See, I would argue she is. People clearly in the industry, regardless of the way she's treated, people clearly talk to her. They clearly talk to her at a number of different clubs, and she talks about process and political stories rather than, Johnny Bloggs is a great halfback and this is his champion data stats. She talks about the internal machinations of football, and people clearly talk to her, and I think she actually changes the path of some events by breaking stories.
Well, she was very active in the off season when the whole Essendon thing broke, when the Herald Sun wasn't touching it, and that was a bit of a surprise to me. Like, it was like Robbo was on holiday, they hold counterpoint positions. Robbo's chief football writer at the Herald Sun, and he does radio and he does Fox. But he was nowhere to be seen during that pre-season stuff when the Essendon story started breaking.
I think The Age did phenomenally well in the pre-season. I don't know this for a fact, but there may have been a decision taken of, well, there is no more pre-season in footy anymore. The AFL has certainly taken that option that we don't let cricket own the summer anymore. We want to own that period as well, because The Age broke the Kurt Tippett stuff. They led on that the whole way through, Emma Quayle. And I think the Hun got caught napping to a large extent on the Essendon stuff. And you could argue whether that was because of some of the personal relationships or they just didn't see it coming and so on. But I think The Age has really lifted their footy game recently. It's really good to see as well.
I wonder if part of the Herald Sun falling asleep at the wheel there, though, was Barrett leaving to join AFL Media.
Definitely.
He's their digger guy. Well, he was their guy that dug up the dirt and stuff like that in football. So... He left to become the big guy down at AFL Media. So I think,
I'm also interested in the horrible conundrum where we all say, oh, who cares if player X is found out the front of a nightclub drunk with his pants around his head, acting like a fool. Really, he's 20. We've all done something stupid. But at the same time, we still read the article and we still comment on the thread on the internet forum at Big Footy or wherever else it may be. How do you guys as individuals approach that? Because we all think we're above that kind of thing, but we still do it at the same time, don't we? We still feed the beast.
Well, I mean, let's take the most recent example of the Buddy Franklin situation that happened during the week, where it seemed to have been something that was taken from Facebook, from somebody's Facebook post, and some digging was done, and one side of the story was portrayed, and it made the front page of the biggest circulation paper in the second most popular state in the country. It seems to be, to me, to be an utterly ridiculous situation, if for no other reason than only one side of the story was put. Now, that's not to excuse what Buddy did. It's certainly bad behaviour, and he needs to sort of, you know, he needs to be able to control himself better. But nonetheless, that's essentially dirt digging. That's, I mean, grabbing stuff off Facebook, that's just, that's ridiculous. That's not journalism at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's muckraking. I don't think you could call it anything but muckraking.
But the way I would, the way I would deal with that is I don't consume that media. Yep. Like I don't buy their old son. I don't click on their banners. I don't, you know, get codes for it. And I do believe in choosing the media I consume. I don't consume everything voraciously. I pick the things I like to read and listen to the people I respect.
Mm-hmm. I'm also really intrigued with you guys of where you see online forums like Bigfooty, and it's one of the traditional kind of memes of Bigfooty of, oh, journos get their stories off Bigfooty. And I think the reality is they do to a certain extent, but social media, be it somewhere like Bigfooty, Facebook groups, Twitter certainly, they've really redefined the footy landscape. And in some ways, especially on Twitter, fans have more contact with players and their heroes now through Twitter than they did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. You know, you actually can have a bit of a personal relationship. What do you think about the evolution of social media?
I think it's been a pretty powerful tool in terms of promotion, in terms of getting fans active in the discussion, as Messenger's chair apparently has a life of its own.
I'm hoping it was his chair.
I think it's given a very big platform for fans to be involved in the discussion, but at the same time, it has its pitfalls as much as anything else does. So, yeah.
I think what the mainstream media, and particularly a station like SEN, fail to understand is the amount of overlap between the people who call in and text them and the people who post on Bigfooty.
Yeah.
They are much closer than they care to admit. And I was even listening to it this morning, and they were talking about Jimmy Bartel looking at the SMS machine they have there, and Tim Watson made the play. It would be like an AFL player sitting in front of Bigfooty all day, reading the post. Yep. It'll just make you miserable.
Yep.
Well, the same people, you know, there's a lot of overlap in that population. And I think that a place like Bigfooty or any online forum for that matter, and I'm a member of Hawthorne off private forums and things like that, that they do have a role. You either get that large community where you can talk about a diversity of opinions, and you also have that club community where you can, talk about things, and you could be perhaps a little bit more honest about the opposition than you might normally be on the main boards. But I think the other main factor about online fora is moderation. And I think anybody who's visited an AFL club Facebook page would appreciate mm-hmm. the role of moderation
yep.
in a football forum. And most of those Facebook pages are toilets. And yep. I think football clubs distancing themselves from those things reasonably quickly, if not evidenced by the fact that most clubs now have an official verified club poster on the board, who is somebody from the club. It's their liaison with the posters on the boards, many of whom, by the way, are paid up members, club members.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add? I mean, I'm happy to take any guidance you want. Is there anything you'd want to raise?
We talked about Matt Thompson last week.
Yeah, and he is a cockhead. There can be no doubt about that.
I've been banned from saying it. I think it gave Wookie terrible headaches. It was difficult to edit out, wasn't it, when I said cockhead in the middle of a sentence?
I didn't bother editing it out. I left it in there.
It
doesn't bother me.
I suppose one more I'd go on. who do you reckon is the best footy journo going at the moment, and why?
Oh, Martin Flanagan ranks pretty highly for me. Emma Quayle ranks pretty highly. I don't know, for me, the age journalists, not all of them, but Martin Flanagan, Emma Quayle, and there's one other whose name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that really stand. Emma Quayle's coverage of the draft and things like that was second to none. Absolutely second to none. And Martin Flanagan's coverage of Indigenous issues and the in-depth stuff that, you know, it's not the shallow, this is what happened on the weekend or such and such got caught doing this. Martin Flanagan's ability to write in-depth stuff is underrated by many.
Oh, I enjoy Jared Whateley immensely. I think there's nothing like a level-headed assessment of something and calling a spade and we get a lot of hoopla and hyperbole and a lot of trying to differentiate themselves in sensationalism, and I think he resists that admirably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, who's the guy from Sports News First? Oh, sorry.
Oh, jeez.
Kim Hagdorn.
Yeah.
For mine, I mean, I will go against the grain here and say it's Caro. Caro's the best footy journo going, I think, if only because she manages to get people so fired up. And I think that's what a good journo should do. She breaks stories. She tells, you know, she speaks truth to power, all that kind of stuff. And she gets people reading and talking about her stuff and talking about the issues she raises. So for mine, sorry all my North fan, my fellow North fans, but it is Caro. She's the best in the game.
Well, on that bombshell, guys, I'm going to end this particular spotlight unless you have anything particular that you've left out of this.
I can just hear a thousand voices from the border in South Australia being like, what about Rucci?
I'll tell you something about Rucci. He's universally hated over here. I'm in Adelaide.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm in Adelaide. There is no one else.